Sometimes during Christmas, something magical happens.
Hey, Cricket customers. The Max with Ads plan is included with the Cricket $60 unlimited plan at no additional cost. And this holiday season, Max is the one to watch when you're feeling festive.
Son of a nutcracker!
Cozy up to all the holiday classics, like Elf, 8-Bit Christmas, and the Harry Potter 8 film collection. Just log in with your Cricket username and password to experience Max on all your favorite devices. Phone plan, streams, and standard definition programming subject to change. Fees, terms, and restrictions apply. See CricketWireless.com for details.
Sometimes during Christmas, something magical happens.
Hey, Cricket customers. The Max with Ads plan is included with the Cricket $60 unlimited plan at no additional cost. And this holiday season, Max is the one to watch when you're feeling festive.
Son of a nutcracker!
Cozy up to all the holiday classics, like Elf, 8-Bit Christmas, and the Harry Potter 8 film collection. Just log in with your Cricket username and password to experience Max on all your favorite devices. Phone plan, streams, and standard definition programming subject to change. Fees, terms, and restrictions apply. See CricketWireless.com for details.
Did you know that Game Pass or Pass is brought to you for free because of Spotify for Podcasters? It's a totally free platform, and you can make a podcast today for free. Spotify for Podcasters lets you record and edit podcasts right from your phone or computer. So no matter what your setup is like, you can start creating today. Then you can distribute your podcast to Spotify and everywhere else that podcasts are heard. And if you're thinking about taking your podcast to the next level with a video podcast, Spotify can help you too. With Spotify for Podcasters, you can also earn money in a variety of ways that includes ads and podcast subscriptions. So what are you waiting for? Download the Spotify for Podcasters app or go to Spotify.com/podcast to get started right now. It is now time for our reactions for the Xbox and Bethesda showcase that was 2 hours long, except they sort of lied and said that it was going to be like an hour and a half of new stuff, and then it was going to be Starfield, but it was more like an hour and an hour, but I digress. I am Corey. I am joined by, let's see, the Legend of Monkey Island himself, Basher.
That's racist. Good day, sirs.
I am currently, I did the thing, I got pizza, I got drinks for the, I was like a 2007 version of me with my Mountain Dew and my pizza, but the pizza came late, so that's where I'm at. Xbox Bethesda, we had, let's just go over some of the games. We saw Fable, we saw Avowed, Star Wars Outlaws, South of the Midnight. Apparently that Flight Simulator game is actually a new game, just FYI, Flight Simulator 2024 they're calling it. We saw Still Wakes the Deep. We saw City Skylines 2, Cyberpunk, Payday 3, Clockwork Revolution, Forza Motorsport, Hellblade 2, Senua's Saga, Towerborn, Starfield. You know, we saw quite a bit here. We're not going to go over the whole thing. We're just going to give our basic impressions. What's the stuff that stood out to you? What's the good? What's the bad? How you feeling?
Honestly, I want to say there was zero bad in this. Starfield included. I just don't think... Genuinely speaking, I just don't think there was anything bad or negative about this show. It was front to back video games, and each one was good in its own right. I feel like, I mean, like even the stuff I wasn't really keen on, like everything from like Forza to some of the indie stuff, I guess. I just wasn't down my alley. It still looked great. Still looked like they had polish. I mean. My only concern actually is the follow through with a lot of these games. If Fable comes out and it looks as slick as it does in those cinematic trailers, then Microsoft is sitting pretty for the next 2 years.
Yeah, I don't think this was the one. You know, like there's always that talk about this is gonna be the one where Microsoft blows it out. Like they did though in some ways. Like we finally got to see more Hellblade. Although I'll say I think Hellblade was probably like the weakest showing of the entire thing of just. we get it's a cinematic game, but like that was like a 3 minute dive that I just wasn't into.
I think a Hellblade like, fan might be fans might be hyped for that though.
It's possible. So again, it wasn't the one, but no, it was very solid. It was a very good showing. It's got a little bit of something for everyone, but obviously almost everything that we saw minus like what there was like Star Wars Outlaws and
all the Atlas stuff.
Yeah, all the Atlas stuff was day one Game Pass, but like so almost everything we saw was day one Game Pass. So that's again impressive, and that's kind of what we do on this show. But I mean like Starfield, Forza, Fable, Avowed, Hellblade, Towerborn, Flight Sim, 33 Immortals, like all that coming day one Game Pass, like for the next couple of years, there's going to be something big almost every single month, it seems like, you know, and that's impressive in its own right. So
yeah, and everything, but, yeah, I'm with everything you. Looks yeah. good. I mean, like I was surprised to see that. I'm still most excited for their third, for like the third party stuff. Unfortunately, like there wasn't as good as their first party stuff looked from the first party studios. I mean, I still, those still weren't huge gets for me. But if you're a Microsoft fan, if you have an Xbox, like you're eating really good.
Yeah, I think it's still Microsoft. I don't know if it's a vision problem. Maybe it's just not a goal problem. Of Starfield is the game that they're betting on, right? But it just doesn't present itself the same way that you can't associate Starfield with Xbox yet, if that makes sense. And I think that's where Nintendo and Sony just have a better marketing department, possibly. Of like Halo is the game that you associate with Xbox, right? But even that game has no longer been there, and this show did not change that. None of these games are going to make me think of like, oh, this is the DNA of Xbox. Like even Forza is, it's part of the DNA of Xbox, but at the same time, like it's a known quantity. So Clockwork Revolution, Avowed, and what was that other game, the one that was revealed, I'm forgetting,
Midnight,
it was the
South of Midnight,
yeah that one. I those don't speak to me as like pillar games of this, you know. I don't get Uncharted from any of those, and this isn't a negative thing. I'm just saying, like, it just seems like they still have trouble associating brands with Xbox at this point.
And my issue with those games that you just mentioned, like, it's not issue, might be the wrong word. I guess my thoughts on those is, there's still wait and sees, you know, like it's when
there's no goodwill there.
Yeah, you know, like so when Nintendo says here's new Zelda, like you already you know you can get hype and get a follow through. When Sony says here's new God of War, you're like, great, I'm pre-order day one, it could be no issue, little no issues. When Compulsion shows South of Midnight, I genuinely love that aesthetic. I'm a big blues fan. I like blues, the jazz, that's what I grew up on. That whole setting was really cool to me. But Compulsion Games they don't really have great follow through with the titles. Like, and then you have, Avowed by Obsidian. As much as I love me some Obsidian games, I mean, is it going to be the same Obsidian game again with a different aesthetic? Or
it might be. Yeah, I will say Avowed looks good, but it did not blow.
Yeah, something about it was just a little bit. I don't know. Maybe if I was younger, I would like. I don't know.
It looks a little been there, done that.
Yeah,
like it, and it. And that's fine. Like, you can still make a really good one of those.
Right.
But when I saw it, like, it looked like a very good RPG.
Yeah.
You know? It looks more my pace and my speed and my aesthetic that I'll enjoy. But from a, you know, global standpoint, looks good, though. Like, Obsidian is a good team. So, I'm excited about that. So, oddly enough, though, so, the best game I thought was Towerborn.
Yeah.
Like, that game looked genuinely really cool and fun. Like, It it is not by far, you know, it's not a graphical masterpiece, but the art was extremely sharp, and
that gameplay looked the characters fun. Moved.
Right. And it's a co-op thing, like, and I was like that looks really freaking cool. Like, that might be like the game, you know, that I'm looking forward to most out of this
for me is that in Persona 5 Tactica.
I find that hilarious that, again, like we talked about this a little bit, it's just Xbox is trying, man. They're trying with Persona really hard, because what's strange is that, like, Sony also tried, right? Or maybe they never did. Maybe it was just Sega was. Why would Sony let those go?
These aren't exclusives, right? No,
they're not. Yeah. But they're still advertising deals, and they're getting them Game Pass day one. So, like,
because no one's going, because they're still going to sell on PlayStation more. Like, but they if you're still Sony, are.
But wouldn't you? Yeah, I mean, I get what
it's
you're
almost
saying,
a waste guess, of dollars because you're going to win that.
Yeah, fair point.
You're going to win that copy sales race regardless, because Persona is a PlayStation brand. To your question, like, I really don't know how they were able to secure brands like that, because even like Final Fantasy, like go back, and Final Fantasy was a Nintendo brand. And then Final Fantasy VII came out, and like, oh yeah, this is just a Sony brand now. This is now ours, and it's something like that they can do, which is very, very strange. I don't know how they can do that. I'm hoping.
Yeah, I mean, money talks. Yeah. But yeah.
But just from a fan standpoint too, though, like, if a new Persona's coming out, like, I'm gonna play it on my PS5.
You can. I said that even though if it's on Game Pass, like, it's on. Apparently, it's gonna be on PC though.
Yeah, maybe same day. Like, tough. I doubt it. Like, I highly doubt that.
It'll be interesting to see, because it seems like Sega's also pushing PC as well with like Yakuza, stuff like that.
Yeah.
So the other games I think that stood out to me, we finally got to see, like you said, we talked South of Midnight, but that was far more of a concept trailer. Like, well, I have no idea what that game is. Annoying. But Clockwork Revolution from In Exile, you know, that's the game that's been rumored for a while. A steampunk first-person shooter. Looks like it uses some type of time mechanic, obviously clockwork, and it looks interesting,
right?
But it looks very Bioshocky, which is fine, but that's kind of the vibes that I got from it.
As you said during the during our live reaction, the make or break it for me for that game is going to be how often and how versatile I can use that time breaking power. If it's only on the same object every single playthrough, then I'm just not going to care as much, or even at all. I'm going to need to be able to just break down any bridge, most things.
You remember the game Time Shift?
Yes.
Like, that game actually had a pretty decent time mechanic.
Right.
Like, and it worked relatively well. The problem was that, like, it just seems like they spent their entire budget on that.
Right.
And so the rest of the game just didn't come together, kind of thing. But if it's something like that, like, that could be genuinely pretty cool. So a couple things. So Forza, I'm obviously a Forza guy. You're not. Looks great. Like, the main thing with it, I think, us Forza fans are looking for is progression. And it seems like that they've really gone back to the drawing board to try to figure out progression for these things. So that's what I'm super excited to look about. That did get a date of October 10th, but there's a lot of games that did not get dates.
That's
like Fable. Yeah, Fable didn't get a date. Hellblade got a 2024 date. South of Midnight didn't get a date. Like,
it's almost the opposite of your issue with the PlayStation 1, because PlayStation was like, hey, this is coming out in the next 3 months, and after that, we don't know. Whereas, like, this is like, hey, it's coming out sometime, maybe, sort of, kind of.
And it's... Hellblade missing this year is, I want to say, shocking to me. That's not. I'm kind of surprised. I figured for certain that was going to be this year, but I do want to talk about Fable a little bit. And Fable, am I alone, or am I weird for thinking that it's going for like realism? That's weird to me.
Hyperrealism, perhaps. The aesthetic didn't weird me out. What weirded me out was the lack of real gameplay. This has been in production for as long as I've been alive at this point. So, like, and we can already tell, like, it's been scrapped and restarted
right.
3-4 times already. I really expected like some real sort of gameplay there. So like my issue with Fable is, again, with most of the Microsoft first party stuff, is I just gotta wait and see. I can't really be hype about it because I have no idea what kind of game's gonna be.
Yeah, that one was weird for me. A, there wasn't a date, but B, there also, it just, what, like, am I wrong in that Fable was about sort of its look and sort of quirkiness?
They switched it all
up. Like the quirkiness is definitely there, like the humor is there, but it being sort of hyper realistic was like strange to me. Like it almost looked like a third person, you know, like Final Fantasy almost game. You know, it's just like, it was kind of strange to me. I definitely want to see more of that. And I think they claim some of that was gameplay or in-engine, and that's fine.
That's a flat out lie, but whatever.
Right. And that might be in-engine, but that doesn't mean it's in-game, you know? So I believe that it's in-engine if that's, you know, so yeah.
Cap, the worstly titled game of the show, Path of the Goddess,
which I still don't entirely know if that's what it's called.
I'm a fan of that. I don't know. Like whatever that is, big fan. It looks like Onimusha meets Neo. Just not Japanese nonsense. Like that's what I come here for, is when I see my Japanese game. So it's just some nonsense, and that looks ridiculous.
Right. And that's the kind of stuff that I want to see. From these shows and stuff like that, that's a good Game Pass get, in my opinion. Right. It reminds me of something like Wolong. Like I ended up finishing Wolong, you know, for 50 hours, and that's a game I probably not would have taken a chance on simply just because of time and money kind of thing. So that's a good get. Metaphor is apparently that's not on Game Pass, but that's from the minds of
that looks
Persona.
So good.
Yeah, that's you. That
looks so
like Persona to me.
Good. I mean, all the same game. This spoiler alert, guys. They're remaking the same game a lot, but I don't care. I'm in on this one.
We'll see on that one. So, but yeah. So I guess the only other thing else to talk about here is Starfield. How we feeling about it? So there was about 45 minutes of Starfield.
No, wait, we're missing one.
We are?
One that we... Wait, did we say we liked this one?
Dungeons of Hitterberg?
Yes.
That one, that's a smaller title, but it looks interesting.
I just want to mention that before we move on to the big game of the show. I feel like Dungeons of Hitterberg might be a sleeper hit for some people. I think it might be a spirit for me especially. Like, it looks kind of right up my alley with a bunch of different mechanics. And what it actually does? It does the Hades thing a bit better. More than their other game that they showed from the Tarabiner guys.
Say that again?
The Tower Banner guys, like the
oh Towerborn.
Towerborn. No, not Towerborn. I'm sorry.
Immortals.
The Spiritfarer guys.
Oh, 33 Immortals. Yes. Yeah, that was
that.
Yeah.
The Dungeons of Hindenburg does that better than 33 whatever for me.
I agree. Yeah, 33 Immortals didn't look that great to me.
Looks a little undercooked.
That looked okay. Yeah, it looked okay. Like it being 33 co-op. Player co-op, like, okay, like that's interesting, but I need to see a little bit.
That's not even interesting to me. It's just 33 people on screen. That doesn't really mean anything,
right?
Like
fair enough.
You know, like it, like are the combos or something that bounce off each other? Like, do the characters play off each other in some way? Because otherwise, it's just a 33 player co-op thing, and who cares?
Right. It's. Well, that's one we'll have to see. It's Game Pass day one, though, so it's definitely one we'll be able to check out. So, what I think is ironic, like, we've come kind of full circle a little bit in video games of, like, the games that we're most excited about, Dungeons of Hindenburg, Towerborn, are, like, not AAA graphical showpieces. You know, like, Fable looks fine to me, Hellblade looks fine, Avowed looks fine, but, like, the game I'm most excited about is freaking Towerborn. Like, it's just funny to me.
I mean, at this point, we know it's going to work.
Fair enough. You know? Yeah. Like, the games that are more simplistic, and it's not even simplistic. It's about a core idea that isn't so vast. You know, it's not about developing the biggest and most open thing. You know, I just want to have some fun.
Speaking of which, Starfield.
Yeah, the complete opposite of Towerborn and Dungeons of Endeavor.
It's... So I think I've been pretty vocal on the show about saying how I think the more you see that game, the worse it's going to get. I'm happy to say that I'm wrong on that, but not much wrong, because like after watching that entire half hour, I guess
it was longer. That was about 45
minutes or so. After watching the whole 45 minutes, I can say it will not be bad. It will not be a disappointment. However, it's still a game where I'm like, I will play by an hour and sit it down and never come back to it. Like, it just doesn't seem... It seems like... We said this on the show before, like, there's no meat on the bones. There's a lot of meat here, but it's just, like, tossed around so many areas of gameplay that didn't focus on any one thing in particular that really stood out to me. Except for the customization, which I just don't really care for in general.
Yeah, I think there was a lot of there was a lot of doubt and a lot of sort of skepticism might not even be the right word, but after Redfall and stuff like that, it was just kind of like, man, like, what's going on over there, sort of thing. And it goes back to what we said about Redfall, of like, this game just should have been canceled. Like, we've now heard reports from there, like, nobody wanted to make that game, and that's why that game sucked. And Starfield, there, I think the worry was, is like, okay, like, what is this game actually going to be? Because it's talking a lot and it's being very ambitious, but in the modern age of all these massive games that just don't end up being what they claim they're going to be, what is Starfield going to be? And for people that love Skyrim and love Oblivion, and what they want is vastness, and I just want to explore and I want to conquer and just like exist in this universe, like literal universe, it looks like it's going to be an achievement. Like, it really does. Like, they have taken what they do best and they've expanded on it and they've made it better. But for people like me, where it's like, I kind of just like want a really tight experience. Like, I don't need everything to be a mile wide, and then, you know, like, I just want it to be tight, consistent, and fun. I don't think my mind has been changed by this at all. I will probably spend 20 hours in Starfield and be like, okay, I'm good. Like, it's the thing that impressed me the most was the visuals, honestly.
Which is
the
fun.
Biomes looked, yeah, like, which is something I've never said about a Bethesda game ever. But like, no, like, truly, like, the environments look stunning, like, very, very good, and frame rate and stuff like that. It's very obvious that the game's not going to be running at 60. I know we talked about this a little bit, but it still looks a little rough.
They need to stop in points. This is the last time they'll show anything this in depth, but they really need to work on that. Like, it's noticeably choppy at certain points.
Right. And it's, man, to me, it's kind of strange. I guess it's not strange. It's, again, we've come full circle of just, I will never understand why vastness is appealing to people, of like everything that I can and can't do. Maybe I'm just not a creative mind person, and maybe that's why. But I genuinely think that this game looks like it's going to deliver, which is a good thing for Microsoft, and it's a good thing for the brand and the sort of, you know, state of mind or whatever you want to call it of gaming fans and the Xbox execs and everything like that. But I'm not unsold on it by any means, but I will be genuinely surprised if I end up spending more than 20 to 30 hours with it, simply just because I feel like it's going to be exactly what we think it is, and if that makes sense.
No, it makes perfect sense to me. I just don't. It's like they're selling a narrative here on top of the exploration. So I'm a bit confused as to what I'm playing it for. I'm playing it for to go to that moon that's over there and just explore the moon, or am I playing it to get to the single player campaign of the very obvious story that's happening? It doesn't feel like the exploration's there or even worth it for me. The idea, like, at one point he says there's moon back there, that's not just for decoration, you can go to that moon. That's true, but my issue with that is how you get to that moon, because two issues. How do you get to that moon, and what do you do on that moon? So the first issue is you get to that moon by fast traveling to your ship, fast traveling out to space, and then fast traveling to the moon. You don't travel to the moon. And that is a huge letdown for me, because you're selling this idea of space to me. You're selling the idea of exploration to me, but everything is being, all the real traversal, all the real exploration is being chopped, because the only way to get to these places is to fast travel. So I fast travel to my ship, into space, to the moon. I then get fast travel onto the moon only and start scanning things. For what reason? To get resources. What do I need resources for? To build things out of the resources that I just built. It's a cyclical system of busy work that I just don't, that this doesn't apply to me anymore. Like, they introduced this back in Fallout 4, almost, I want to say, and it just didn't get me then. It's not going to get me now. They didn't show a lot of the looting process. Most of my weapons and armor is going to come from buying and looting stuff. I guess my point is, by playing this game, I feel like I'm going to cut out 50, 60, 70% of the stuff they put in, because I just want to get to the story, because that's really all that's here. The exploration is pointless unless I miss something.
Now, it's, you know, armchair developer, you know, I think it's, what's the word I want to use? It's an achievement that they're able to do it, but I think we're just in this era of gaming to where it's just like, the technology is driving what is possible, but we haven't figured out ways to use that technology. Like, we're never going to get a game like Doom 2016 in a world of, like, Starfield, if that makes sense. Like, a tightly driven, mechanic-based game just doesn't work in an open world like that. Like, because you know what happens? You get Rage 2. Like, that's what that game tried to be. And that's tough. And
I hate to do this. I truly hate to do this. Like, I honestly just... We got Elden Ring.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Elden Ring figured it out.
I know what you're going to say already, and it's like, those are the reasons that I respect Elden Ring.
Right.
But at the same time, it's like, we've got to get over this... I mean, what do you want to call it? Like, this notion that, I won't say like that we can't do better, but what am I trying to say here?
I don't know. I'm waiting for you to say it.
I'm trying. So she said, the Elden Ring can be better.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But the problem is
we spend so much time talking about its greatness,
exactly,
without being
right,
objectively critical in right, a positive way, so that way more people would even enjoy.
I'm not completely agree with that. Elden Ring is not perfect at all, but it is a huge step in the right direction of making an open world game and telling an open world narrative. But there's so many things wrong with it, but all people, I think all most developers, or not even developers, more the higher ups rather, see is, oh, that's a big open world game, make that.
Right. And that's the crazy thing to me is, like, some of the biggest problems with Elden Ring could be solved by simply don't do a class system that's so convoluted. Like, if you just gave me a character that I can level up and actually understand what I'm leveling, I'd probably enjoy the game a lot more. But if I have to have a freaking spreadsheet open to understand what I'm doing, that's a problem. And so, like, it's little stuff like that. It's the same thing with, like, Starfield. It's just like, look, this is super impressive, but if I could just, like, not scan stuff for no reason. Metroid Prime did it. I didn't like it then either. And I love Metroid Prime, you know, like, busy work is not gameplay. And that seems to be something that Bethesda hasn't figured out yet. And some people like it though.
You know, I was about to say, it's the fans have not figured that out yet.
Right. And that's, it's tough. Like I said, it's not fair for me to be like, oh, I'm right, you're wrong kind of thing. But it's just a different perspective, I guess. And I think we've obviously figured out, you know, we are gameplay centered first people. It's
also a perspective to keep in mind, because the older you get, the more busy you get, the more responsibilities you get, the more friends and family you get and have to deal with. Getting onto a game to build a base. To scan things, to build a base, so you can buy things, to scan more things. That idea is just like, no. It's just, I just don't have time for it. I don't have the mental capacity for this anymore. Like when I was 13, I could do that. I'm 36. I just don't have the mental fortitude to do that anymore. So yeah, that part of Starfield, that the exploration part that we have the issues with, then it's the locations and how you get there, how I have issues with that. Then they show more of the gunplay, and it genuinely looks much better than it showed in the first one. It really does. It still doesn't look good and engaging. I think, having sat on it for a little bit here, I think it's because of what you're shooting and how they're reacting to it. To compare it to Bungie, for example, like they have nailed and refined the process of shooting a character and having that character react to shots and reacting to you. Shooting things in Bungie games just always feels really, really good. Bethesda combat is a means to an end. It's because it's not as focused on as exploration, it's sort of take a C-list tier of gameplay mechanics, and it looks and feels point and clicky.
I don't know if I can say it any better. And that's, what do I want to say? I guess to finish this conversation, the thing is that it looks incredible, but at the end of the day, we have to remember that these shows are advertisements, right? Like, we can sit here and try to, you know, armchair dev it and all that stuff, but at the end of the day, these are giant advertisements, and until we play it, we won't have great opinions of it. But overall, it was a good showing. I would have liked to have seen a little bit more from stuff like Perfect Dark, you know, like some of the and Gears, you know, stuff that we know is in development. Like Perfect Dark's literally been announced, but like Gears, we haven't heard anything from. And so, you know, we're entering this weird thing of development of just like, why are games taking so long right now? And part of it was COVID. You know, you're hearing more and more companies like Mortal Kombat and stuff like that. They're saying like COVID knocked a year or two out of us kind of thing. We just couldn't get it done. And so it just seems like there's a lot of studios that we don't understand what happened because COVID literally took a year or two out of development. And there's a lot of games that were already so far in development that COVID maybe delayed it, but it didn't delay it as much kind of thing. So it would have been cool to just see like the surprise. I think Microsoft lacked the surprise factor of like, yo, this game's coming that you've been asking for. Now there's rumors of a Killer Instinct 2 forever. And like, I didn't think it was going to happen, but that would have been cool. You know, of just like, oh, like that's neat. I think, to judge a show by saying what's not there isn't fair, but that's what I would have liked to have seen of like, yo, we're doing the thing. You know, where's Rise 2, man?
Where's Rise 2? I hear what you're saying, and I agree to a point. And I think the issue with a lot of people kind of grading and ranking these shows is the surprise factor weighs a little too much on a lot of people. Because if you look at, I know people are mad about the Sony showing. I'm looking at both these shows. I'm thinking like these are a lot of good games coming out. Like these are a lot of good games coming out, and yeah, they're not all exclusives. Yeah, they're not all super surprise hits, but I don't think, for whatever reason, we're just not there anymore where you're getting the MGS 6 reveal surprise reveal. Like, you're not getting the even the stuff you expect. Like, I really expected to see a Gears something.
Yeah, I'm actually kind of shocked they didn't at least, like, tease it, you know? Like, that's... Gear 6 could legitimately be... It's on Unreal Engine 6, or 5. Like, that has potential to be a graphical showcase, and that team has been hunkered down in this game for quite a while. Gears is a pillar franchise that has not had that... What's the word I want to say? Luster that it had during that original trilogy. So, like, there's a lot that they have to try to prove with this game. And it might be the last Gears game, right? Like, for at least a long time.
Before a reboot, probably.
Right. So, I'm kind of upset. I'm going to say upset. I'm just kind of bummed they didn't at least, like, you know, concept, you know, something like that. But I digress.
Yeah, because, I mean, because I'm not comparing the two at all, because they're just both different things at this point. But Sony was able to show off Metal Gear Solid Delta. And that was... it was a huge thing, but at the same time, like, for those of us who are in the know, Kojima's not involved, so it's going to suck. But it's still Metal Gear Solid Delta. And right. So it's still, like, a huge, whoa, this is crazy. Like, a new Metal Gear game, so cool. Then it's like, you look at the Microsoft thing, and albeit a better show, easily a better show, Where's your big your big Metal Gear type of thing? You know, like, you definitely right. it is missing, but I wouldn't fault Xbox for having it missing for sure. It's overall just a really great, really good to great showing, whereas Sony's was like a really meh to good showing. So
yeah, I think Sony's biggest thing is that the weirdest thing. I'll keep this very brief. The thing that is annoying me about the Sony show is that Sony has a history and a I already used this word, but I can't remember what use it. They have a you're willing to give them the benefit of the doubt, right? Of, we know that Naughty Dog's working on something. We know that Sony Bend is working on something because we know what Sony is and what they do. Microsoft doesn't really have that history to where, like, they're so inconsistent. And so a lot of people are looking at the Sony show and like, yeah, like it was okay, but, like, you know, I didn't love it, but we know they're working on something.
Right, right.
And it's just like, okay, that doesn't negate the fact that Sony show was, in my opinion, pretty okay at best. Like, there was just a lot of stuff in there that just didn't look that great or just wasn't that exciting. And but there's this notion of just like, well, but it's Sony, so therefore we're going to elevate the show because it's like, you know they're working on something. It's like, well, then they shouldn't have spoke about it. And no, like, if you have nothing to say, don't say anything. So, but I get it. That's not the way the world works, right? There's marketing deals involved and stuff like that. So, like, you better believe Final Fantasy 16 is, like, what, 2 weeks away?
Yeah.
I'm all over that game. You're going to be all over Final Fantasy 7.
I wasn't.
Yeah, Rebirth as well.
I wasn't a week ago, but now I really am. Like, I don't know why. The closer to release date, the more I'm like, yeah, I can't wait for that.
I am pumped for Final Fantasy 16. Like, that is, I am super excited for that. So, like, but to bring this back around, like, as a Game Pass showcase and as a Xbox showcase, this was pretty good. Like,
I think so.
It wasn't the one. It wasn't the one where it's just like, oh my God, like, yo, like, this Xbox is serious. You know, like, this is, Sony is dead. Like, no, it's not that showcase. It really, you know, it's not the Kingdom Hearts and the Final Fantasy VII remake and the Shenmue 3 year, you know, where it's just like, you had these three games that were just sort of like always talked about and blah, blah. But what's funny is only one of those games ended up being good.
So Shenmue 3.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, that's exactly what I
was going to say.
But to me, that's also like, that's exactly poetic and exactly my point is, like, these are advertisements at the end of the day. Like, it's fantastic that Kingdom Hearts 3 was announced and we finally got it. And it's like, oh my God, they did the thing. But then the game came out and it was just kind of meh. So, like, does it really matter that they did it? It does. Because that's the hype machine and all those things. But yeah, no. Good show. As a Game Pass customer, I'm excited.
Eating good these couple of years.
Yep. So, all right, let us know what you... Go ahead.
No, I just want to say I really did wish I got some more at least tentative dates on things, because it feels
like
it feels like a lot of this stuff, like, it's like you said, Sony will show something and we know we might not see it again for another year or two, and that's fine, whereas Microsoft is like, you're showing me Fable again, and when is that coming out exactly? Like, and there's quite a few of those at this show. Like, when is that actually coming out? Like, so, like, as a show, I think it's, I agree, it's pretty good, but a little more summer 2024, winter 2025 type of things.
Well, and it's, I think the strange part to me is that they're clearly not afraid to do that. And it's, you're always going to have critics of showing something too early or showing something too late. You know, you got stuff like Scalebound, you know, like Scalebound was shown and shown and shown and it got canceled and everyone was upset, but like it probably got canceled for a reason, you know, but no one's going to talk about that. They're talking about the fact that Microsoft failed and they canceled the game, you know? And so they showed off Fable in 2020. There was an announcement trailer and then nothing, you know, we get nothing for now 3 years. And now suddenly it's like, okay, well, when's that game coming out? And it's like, okay, so you're willing to do it. You also showed off Perfect Dark. That was clearly a concept trailer from the Initiative, which is the studio that you created that has done absolutely nothing so far. So like, it's weird that you're willing to announce this stuff and show it, but you're, and not put a date on it, but you won't show updates on Perfect Dark. You won't show on whatever id's working on whatever Double Fine's working on. You know, it's, to me, that's the strange part is, and I understand that sometimes you're just not ready. But you're also willing to make CGI trailers for Fable 2.5 years ago, but you're not willing to do that. You know, it's, that's the stuff that's weird to me is if you're willing to do it, just do it. Like if you're going to make your brand be like, we're always going to show you what we're working on. Sometimes it's not live gameplay, or sometimes, you know, it's concept trailers and stuff like that, then do that. You know, stick to your lane, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
So. And I'll just end with this before we get out of here. Starfield is not going to be the game of the year. Like, they're releasing some stuff this year, and I think
it's going to be tough, yeah.
I'm not surprised.
2023 is genuinely a banger of a year, and we're only halfway through. But I mean, you've got Diablo 4, Street Fighter, Zelda, Final Fantasy, like it's got some stiff competition, but it's probably going to, I would not be surprised if Starfield took it some places, but it seems like Zelda is going to win.
Yeah,
this
most
one,
likely.
Right? Yeah. And I think that's wrong, but so Towerborn, we got a release date on that, didn't we?
Yes.
I want to see it because I don't remember what it was, but like that, generally, that's the game. I want to see that game. Like, that game looks freaking cool, man. I want to see the release date of Towerborn before we go. Let us know what you think. 574-651-9256. Let us know what you thought about the show. Maybe you hated it. Maybe you loved it. Let us know. 2024, that's all it said. So at least we got a date, right?
Yeah, that's good enough for me.
Yeah, so. All right, that's going to do it. Let us know, 574-651-9256. We'll see you next time with a regular episode, and here's to more games coming out in the future.
Good day, sirs.